There is football today. Hit the dinger because you know where I'm going with this. The Dallas Cowboys are back.
I didn't load the dinger.
You didn't load the dinger. Good job. The Dallas Cowboys are playing a football game tonight. It is the 2021 Hall of Fame game where they're going to be celebrating the 2020 and 2021 class tonight at 8 o'clock on Fox. Welcome to another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast here on a Thursday. It is August the 5th, 2021. Your host, Sturch and Gooch, and of course, behind the glass, our awesome producer, intern slash everything else, graphic maker guy, TikTok maker guy, AJ Bascone in the house. Guys, are we ready for football? I know you don't care about the team that's playing like I do, but it's here.
I'm just here for Charles Woodson's celebration today. That's it.
That's awesome. Yeah, Charles Woodson, probably the best. Nah, well, Peyton Manning's getting in. They're 1A as far as like offense defense. I think that they're well deserving to get into the Hall of Fame. Calvin Johnson, I debate that one. I still stop. That is a first ballot. I didn't say he's not a Hall of Famer. The first ballot thing kind of it took a long time for T.O. to get in. And I think that's a personality thing, and that sucks. But I think because Calvin Johnson was so didn't say a word in his entire career, that's why he's first ballot. That's probably why.
Semantics when you're talking this ballot, that ballot.
I don't know. Calvin There's something Johnson, to be said.
The way I look at it, the committee or whoever votes, they suck. We'll get that out of the way. These people all suck at life in general.
Right? I mean, it took Drew Pearson. Ding! Drew Pearson about 4 decades.
At least Dave is on to us now. Things
are coming from me. But it took him about 30 years to get in. 30 years too late. Go ahead.
But when we're looking at a TO, we're looking at these guys are guaranteed Hall of Famers. So it doesn't really matter to me. It's like if Calvin gets in on the first ballot, it's because people liked him more. That's really what it comes
down to.
It's human nature at play here, Dave.
Yeah.
Calvin Johnson's a first ballot Hall of Famer. You can't take it away from him because he is one. So whether you agree with it or T.O. T.O. was, I don't know who I would take. I would probably take Calvin over T.O. just because of the drops. I do rank T.O. higher than Calvin, but if I was starting a team, I don't know. It's hard to pass on Calvin Johnson.
I wholeheartedly agree with that sentiment. I would probably take a Calvin Johnson over T.O. in their prime. I mean, Calvin Johnson was the greatest receiver in the world at one point.
T.O. has better career numbers.
Definitely.
But if Calvin Johnson didn't retire when he did, he would have probably.
What is it with the Lions just prematurely retiring? Like Barry.
The Lions are a shithole.
But I mean, like you can't, like, I guess they didn't live in that age of a, I want out. You know what I mean?
They gave Stafford the thing that they wouldn't give Calvin.
Basically,
which is the ability to go somewhere else and play. And Calvin wasn't the type of player to cause a big fucking ruckus, so he just got stuck retiring.
Yeah, that stinks for him because those numbers could have been even more astronomical.
If Calvin came back right now to play, he would be a top 20 receiver, easy.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, that's easy. And I think if Charles Woodson still played, he could still probably play the nickel corner at some point.
I wouldn't say the nickel corner anymore.
Maybe a safety?
But he could definitely play safety.
Which he did at the end of his career, right? Yeah, so Charles Woodson gets
in. I don't know, man. It's been a while.
It has been a while.
Secondary is really, really hard.
Well, Brett Ernst and Keith Ernst always tell me that cornerback.
Corner is the hardest position to play.
Because you just don't know.
Quarterback is the hardest position to play.
Is it?
I know. Quarterback.
And
it's not even close. Yes. Hardcore, hardest position to play.
Skill-wise. You tell me cornerback is not as difficult as quarterback.
It's not.
Really?
Skill-wise, when we're talking about like the specific skills the corner needs, yeah. Then it's like they're on an island. They're out by themselves. You don't know what's coming. A great corner throughout the game because they don't even go to his side. That's a great corner. When you're covering a receiver that has a quarterback that knows what each other are doing and a corner locks it down, yes. I understand on the defensive side of the ball in terms of the hardest to perform physically – probably corner.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to skills, what a quarterback has to do with footwork and understanding the defenses and reads, and it's not even
Think there's something to be said about knowing what's about to happen rather than not knowing what's about to happen. So the quarterback knows the play. He knows his receiver's routes.
But he doesn't know what coverage unless
he
knows it because he's smart. Or he doesn't know what blitz is coming, and he doesn't know. There's a lot of factors.
But I'm saying that's the only thing that he has to really think about on the fly is avoid the sack and where the defense is and what the kind of coverage they're in.
You're so wrong on that.
What do you mean I'm so wrong?
On the fly, when you walk up to a line of scrimmage, sometimes they have three plays called and they have to pick which one they're going to do. Tell the guy to go in motion, stop him where he needs to stop. There's a lot.
I'm just saying, when you're a corner and you're on that island, like you don't know if you're about to be blocked.
Ball fakes, footwork, you name it.
Listen.
Where to not go because this guy's on the field there because there's so much that goes in. It's not even funny. It's not close.
You don't think it's close?
It's not close.
All right.
Quarterback, bro. That's why when you have a dominant quarterback, your team is good no matter what. Like, if you have, like, Rodgers, how many bad teams has Russell Wilson played on? How many bad teams has Aaron Rodgers played on? How many bad teams has Brady played on?
Right.
How many bad teams do you think Mahomes is going to play on?
Not many. Exactly. If not at all.
And, like, there will be completely deficient. Packers went 15-1 the year that they lost to the Giants in the second round, their first game.
I'll take that argument, though. Go ahead, sorry.
And they gave up 40-something points a game. It wasn't because they didn't go 15-1 because of their corners were good. They were trash. But Aaron Rodgers was playing out of this world that season. That's why.
Okay.
It's a quarterback-driven league.
I don't disagree at all there. Like, definitely a quarterback-driven league. I totally understand that sentiment. But, yes, there is a football game to be played. There is no more weeks to go without a football game. So tune in tonight, Fox. Dak didn't make the trip. Amari Cooper didn't make the trip. They're on all the posters. They didn't make any of the trips. I'm excited to see the rookies and everybody flash around. I wonder if Ben gets any play tonight.
No.
No? Nothing. No, zero? No. Not even a drive?
No way.
Okay. I'm
better
curious.
Not.
Considering how, I'm not even going to say fragile, just the miles are up. You know what I mean? Like, his warranty is up, and he's going to be called 17 times a day by asking if he wants to extend his warranty.
And it's September. Wait, I mean, it's not even September. Wait until December when you need Ben.
Right.
There's no reason to put Ben out there right now. It's
correct.
Not going to do anything. Yeah. It's not going to do a thing.
All right. Well, then it's Mason Rudolph show, right? Isn't it? Oh, wait a minute.
Doug Hodges. I don't know if Haskins.
Is Haskins even
there? I'm sure,
I'm sure
they still have four QBs on the roster.
Yeah, they have to at this point.
But maybe not.
Well, we'll see. But we are going to preview. We were wrong yesterday. I don't know why I thought in my mind that when we're like, okay, it's time to move on to the AFC South. We've caught some slack on our what's up, AJ?
No more Duck Hodges. He's out of Pittsburgh. It goes Mason Rudolph, then Dwayne Haskins, then Joshua Dobbs. So we
Ooh, Dobbs see. Still around. That's the one with the no eyebrows thing, right? He like right. He's
I
got
think
that
that's
look.
Ryan Shazier, who's paralyzed.
No, that's not Ryan
he's
Shazier.
He's also not paralyzed.
And he's not paralyzed. Jesus Christ, he was walking like last year. Oh, you're making me look very silly right now. But I'm saying he's got like that thing. I know a couple people. It's not a disease. It's just
alopecia.
That's it. That's the word I was looking for.
He does have the eyebrow thing.
Yeah, well, that's what I called it. I didn't know the name of the thing, so yes, I'm sorry. I'm not a doctor. I don't know.
Dr. Chris.
Dr. Chris with the
quarterback
from downtown. So we'll see those quarterbacks in action tonight. Cowboys Steelers, 8 o'clock. We will talk about, and I was saying this before, yesterday we're like, oh, we're going to talk Houston Texans as we move on to the AFC South at the bottom. I guess we just, like a premonition, we were kind of already predicting that they could possibly finish at the bottom, but we are starting today with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Jacksonville Jaguars have a fan base within Chop Sports. Scoop Espo is a Jacksonville Jaguars fan.
You could
my friend,
say Tim Tebow, and then that's it.
My
Urban
friend,
Meyer, Tim Tebow, Lawrence,
my friend,
James Robinson,
all right,
potentially
all
right. DJ Chark. All right,
my next. Friend. My friend Jess is a Jaguars fan. So they are in the masses. And when I say masses, I mean
are
two.
Are you opposed to just flinging the Texans into this one too?
No.
I want to throw them both together.
Just a combo episode? No, I do want to stick to our 32 teams in 32 days. We are on team 5 here tonight. We started on Monday and we did the AFC East. We caught some slack on Instagram. We did post our predictions. A lot of people chimed in, which is awesome. I love what AJ's doing.
I would get Buffalo Bills slack. And I'm curious to know, after you got Buffalo starting 5-1, how they're going to go.
11. I had them 11 wins.
I think you had them at the same as me. I think you had them.
I had them at 11 wins.
11?
Yes.
So 5-1. And
I saw the damn graphic. He made it. So
they're going to go 6-5 over their final stretch.
So maybe, I don't know. I looked at the schedule.
I know, I'm just trying to talk shit, honestly.
Well, 10
wins for Buffalo this year.
You've succeeded in that. Yeah, so we have the Jaguars preview coming up in just a little bit. There was some football news happenings. There is a lot of traction to this, the Colts need a quarterback thing, because if Wentz is, for whatever reason, on the back end of that 12-week, you know, diagnosis, they got to make a move. And whether it be Phillip Rivers coming out of retirement.
Wentz is such a fast healer.
Oh, yeah,
he's
totally.
He's healthy.
Totally. So. But that's not
him being ready for week one.
Right. Frank Reich actually was interviewed yesterday, and they said there was no trade talks. There was no acquisitions in sight. They do like easy. Easily. They drafted a quarterback. I'm pretty sure. If you look that up, AJ.
Lies.
No. They drafted a quarterback.
No, I know, but the lies out of Frank Reich, they can't be good.
I mean, it's not.
It.
It's tampering, I guess, if you actually say, like, yes, we've talked to the Bears. Like, I'm sure that's illegal. But, yeah, the Colts need a quarterback because Carson Wentz will not be ready for the start of the season. He probably won't be ready until Halloween. Go ahead, AJ.
You're talking about Jacob Eason?
Eason. There it is. Well, I knew it was an E. Like, so I'm totally far off.
I didn't know
off.
If you were doing that or if you were far off and it was Sam Ellinger, but it's Eason.
Ellinger's a rookie too from Texas. Mm-hmm. Hook 'em horns, baby. Hook 'em horns. The new team.
AFC South really has me fucking excited, apparently.
The AFC South should be dominated two-team race. We'll get into those two-team
race at this point if Wentz.
Oh, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. So the Titans are catching a little bit of a break, but we'll talk about the Jaguars today. So, yes, the Colts need a quarterback. We'll figure out. Well, we won't figure it out. They'll figure that out as to what they're going to do. Other small rumors is that was posted today in Chop Sports. I think Nick Schein put it up there, said it's football season because now the Eagles have not named Jalen Hurts their quarterback, which is fantastic for my, go ahead, ding, Dallas Cowboys not having a quarterback. They don't have a quarterback that they trust. This guy's been linked to not be the starter more than the times he's been linked to be the starter, and that's Jalen Hurts. I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback. I'm not saying he can't grow to be a good quarterback. I'm just saying that this has got to crush the kid's confidence. How many times are there going to be rumors that Jalen Hurts is not the guy? Like, that's an unfortunate thing for his psyche right now. So now all of a sudden, the not suspended yet Deshaun Watson has been linked to the Philadelphia Eagles again in a trade. Is that a great landing spot for him? Sure it is for the Eagles and what they can get back in the haul coming back. I don't know. Probably a couple ones. I believe the Eagles did pick up a couple additional ones. So they probably have some expendable draft picks.
Nobody's giving up shit for Watson right now.
But so that's what I'm saying.
I don't buy any of that.
That's what I posed a question to you. Why is Watson even linked to anybody? Like, this is not a right now play. You got to assume he's going to get suspended, right? I mean, he's out because of a calf strain right now, which I'm sure there's a profession out there that can work that out for him, but he lost that privilege a long time ago. But so I don't know if this is more injury riddled or more like he's just saving face right now and he's not practicing because he doesn't want to face the media because you're contractually obligated. Why would anybody trade for Deshaun Watson right now?
Nobody will trade for Deshaun Watson right now.
Zero, right?
And to the other points is he is probably not injured. He's there so he doesn't get fined, and he wants out
anyway. Marshawn style. Yeah.
And the team doesn't want him there, so they're diagnosing him with this injury, and it's a backdoor agreement where they're just saying, look, here's what's happening. We know you want out.
Now,
we understand why you're here. We'll pay you, but you can't practice, so we're going to give you this calf strain.
I raise another question. Why would the price for Deshaun Watson would probably be the least right now in this current situation? So don't you think a team that maybe in their minds don't have the guy for the future, knowing that this year is going to suck and he might not even play, we don't know that. But once he does eat that suspension, whatever a case may be, better be six or more. You know, once he eats that was a Zeke reference, right? Yes. Once he eats that suspension, he is now one of the top six, seven quarterbacks in football. You know what I mean? Like, skill-wise. He's like the Michael Jordan. Like, he's electric when he's playing. So why?
The reason why he hasn't been suspended yet is because they haven't uncovered the actual truth as to what's going on.
So is this going to be a Zeke situation where he plays the first three and all of a sudden
I don't think he's playing at all. Because this situation is vastly different than the Zeke situation. This is not an isolated incident where they were on a party bus or whatever the fuck was going on with Zeke. This is a real deal, potentially like actual scandal.
Like criminal, yeah.
Where he could potentially be in jail. I doubt that's going to take place.
I don't think so either.
There's a lot of things that people don't know yet, and how are you going to risk your future, and plus your fan base will be divided on the move to begin with because it's a hot button issue right now.
Absolutely.
I'm not trading for Deshaun Watson, and the you could say it's the all-time cheapest that you're going to get Watson for, but you might give up a first rounder and that's the all-time cheapest, but then you get nothing in return because Watson ends up going to jail.
But you do get Watson after that is what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
If Watson is even able to play.
Ever again?
Ever again.
Ever again.
Who the fuck knows?
But that's the reason
why he's not suspended yet is because there's nothing really known, which I'm sure the suspension is coming, honestly. I really am.
Okay.
Because you don't have to actually get caught doing anything. All you have to do is...
What's his face? He can just hit his little gavel, and exactly. Roger Goodell is suspending people with no evidence whatsoever. I mean, that's happened.
That's a real unique situation that I can't see anybody inheriting that situation and giving up assets to do it. To say, you know what, we'll take you on, and we have no idea what the future holds with for even this season or next or even the rest of your career, but we're going to give up valuable NFL assets. It's just not going to happen.
Okay.
And to the other point, let me go back. Jalen Hurts is a third-round pick in his second year. He does not owe anything. He is not a starting quarterback.
He's not a third-round pick.
What second-round pick?
Pretty sure he was selected at least their second. At least their second. I'm pretty damn sure.
I don't give a fuck if he's their first-round pick. He's a rookie quarterback, second-year quarterback that just has, what, four starts? There's no guarantees in the NFL.
Yeah.
Second round, yep. 53rd.
And that's what, 53rd. So, like, boom, middle of the second round.
So you show me the list of starting quarterbacks in the NFL that are entered their second season as a second-round pick and are automatically starters. It's not – I'm sure there is some, but it's not as big as you think.
Do you want me to name one? Dak Prescott was a fourth-round pick, and he was a starting quarterback the next year.
Dave, that's one isolated incident. Now, I could name 50 probably with a let me list them. You know, like that's very rare.
Okay.
Honestly, and they didn't draft Dak to be the starter in their second year. I promise you.
No, they did not. I know that. Exactly. I know that for a fact they didn't because Tony Romo was there. Exactly. Right.
So these are situations that take place because guys get injured and this or that. Right now, Jalen Hurts didn't earn himself a starting job in the NFL yet. Will he be? Maybe. They're just not giving it to him because maybe they want to press him a little bit. They want to keep him in line. I don't know if that's the right words for it.
Well, my question is this. You know, you don't want to give him that position. And I know it was last year when Wentz was healthy, he was benched. You know what I mean? Like, that was a bench job, and they gave it to Jalen Hurts. Why the change? If you're so confident in this kid from last year.
Well, two reasons. One, it's a whole new coaching regime. So how do you know that with the same confidence was there in
Hurts
that
isn't there
now? It's a different system. It's his second season. Already on his second system, he might be struggling to pick up the offense. There's a laundry list of reasons why he might not be ready. And in his head, he might also know, I'm not ready. You don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. He's only in his second year.
Okay.
It doesn't mean that he's ever even going to be good. How many busts have there been?
Plenty. Yeah. So you digress.
That's my point.
That is your point.
I hate how people think that because this guy was drafted here, he should automatically be given the keys. Fuck that.
I'm not saying give him the keys. I'm just saying you gave him the keys already last year. So now for you to be like, nah, I don't know about that. You know what I mean? Like that kills a guy's psyche and confidence.
He was given the keys by default.
By default? You benched Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz he doesn't suck. Like, I think he played trashy last year to get benched.
Look at Carson Wentz's numbers.
But he's not a shit quarterback.
I mean, he played like shit. He got the job by default. He was the backup quarterback.
He was the second pick in the draft. That's why he was the starting quarterback for the Eagles. Right? Right.
Who?
Wentz.
I'm not talking about Wentz. I'm talking about he was given the job last year by default because the starter sucked, so he got the job. Hurts right. Got the job because Wentz sucked. Anyway, fuck the Eagles. Let's move on because we have a meeting coming.
Best thing you've said on this entire show, and not even just this show, all the shows, fuck the Eagles. I'll back up that sentiment. I will say we're both collectively, without any discretion from or without any critique or criticism from a Jimmy Palumbo, both wearing our Yankees hats because the Yankees won another series and we're happy about it. 700 baseball, just like you asked for. That's what the doctor ordered. 700 baseball, they beat up on the Orioles again, as they should have. They should have swept them.
I think they're 18-7 in their last 25.
They're that's what kicking we down the doors. They're now, for the second time only in this season, they're 9 games above 500. That's only the second time this has happened. Other than that, they've either been, you know, whatever else.
First below. Time this season, they scored double digits in back-to-back games.
Now, again, that was Harvey gave up, I think, 4, but then, like, the wheels fell off, and then, you know, hit after hit.
It was 3-3 for a really long time, and then they just went nuts late.
Right, but I'm saying, like, it is the Orioles. I've never seen a team actually play that bad in the field, ever. It felt like very high school.
Well, no, I did. It was, like, right before All-Star break when the Yankees...
No. Like, there's to the points where they can't even catch a fly ball. Like, balls are dropping in that you're just like... Stanton got a bases clearing double and the ball was hit right outside of second base position. You know, like that's a bases clearing double? No, it should not be. You know what I mean? But the Orioles are bad at baseball and that's why they're on pace to lose 100 plus. But again, and this is something I was saying last night to a couple people, this is the low hanging fruit that the Yankees have to beat up on. And now when you look at the standings, especially in the wild card race in particular, you know, you have to worry about where you stand with the teams that are coming up on your schedule, i.e. the Seattle Seahawks. Football's on the mind, I'm sorry. The Seattle Mariners are on the mind because they're right now, the Mariners are behind the Yankees by a game, but this is your chance to say goodbye, Seattle, you know what I mean, and just push your way. The Yankees are now going into tonight are 2 games behind the A's. That's right, the A's, not the Athletics, the A's. But that's where the Yankees stand right now, so now you have to really bring it against a team that's right below you, because by the end of this weekend, you could be behind Seattle again.
If I'm the Yankees, I'm not looking at any team's records or anything. I'm just going in, out there and playing the games and letting it all shake out. There's a lot of baseball left to be played. they could still catch the teams in their division. So if there is a goal, that should be the goal. No question about it. Seattle is already in our rear view as far as I see it. We fucking take two or three in this game, in this series, and we're up two games on Seattle. That's all we need.
Nestor Cortez goes tonight. You know, it's funny. We always talk all things Yankees on this podcast because we actually have a Mets podcast, which dropped today, Till Mets Do Us Part, episode 15 already, which is crazy because I feel like it was just yesterday they met and they put a logo together. So they're cruising over there as far as a podcast is concerned. But now that team in New York, the other team in New York, they seem to be on a little bit. I mean, they won last night. They should have, but you can't lose two of three to the Marlins. You can't do that. You know, not if you're going to be the NL East champions and win that division. They are in trouble right now, and I don't think we see DeGrom for a while. I don't know. I just have this feeling that there's something up with that situation where they're either not disclosing everything or something. Like, I think these guys, Sapanaro and Ibanez yesterday on their show when they were recording, I did hear some of it before I edited it. They're questioning, you know, is he hurt? Is he not? You know what I mean? Like, what's going on?
He's definitely hurt.
You would assume, right? I mean, they're holding him out. Like, what are you waiting for? September to make your run? Like, you can't go from being up five games in the NL East in a division where, you know, it was a tight team race the entire way. And now you're looking at this division and you're like, oh, okay. Now, like, all of a sudden, just slip through your fingers. And now you're only up a game and a half on Philadelphia, only 2.5 on the Braves. It's like those teams they're chomping at the bit right now. The Mets got to get it right because you can't not get it right in August. You can't just start slumping and pretend that you're going to win that division. So that remains to be seen. Lindor's, you're right. I mean, this is right.
Not good.
They made the trade for Baez for that reason. You know, they just didn't know about the Lindor thing. And when they go, you know, when they're both playing, that's going to be nice. It's going to be nice, right? Offensively, it's going to be nice. But again, I guess, you know, it remains to be seen. But yeah, so that's that. I will say, and still in the world of baseball, before we get to AJ real quick, Scherzer made his debut for the Dodgers and completely torched the Astros yesterday with 10 strikeouts. So Mad Max, no matter where he's at, that team's going to be a freaking problem, dude. I'm telling you, that rotation, even without Trevor Bauer, is pretty, pretty good. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, I'm going to turn it over. Before I turn it over, one piece of NBA news dropped today. Julius Randle signs an extension for 4 years. Good money, I think. I mean, that contract is nice for these Knicks. There was wiggle room for now flexibility to add another player if they want to this year, i.e. Dame Lillard, or next year when the free agent class is just through the roof and they could just add that superstar.
SMH at Dame Lillard on the Knicks. Not going to happen.
Oh, man. He's shooting it down, AJ. He's shooting it down. Just ruining our high hopes.
I don't think it can happen now because now we have Kemba Walker. I mean, we did sign him for a pretty low amount.
But $8 million for 1 year. That's what I thought. I thought it was three yesterday. I was wrong. It's an $8 million 1 year contract. He could be gone next year. So you goddamn right you add Dame Lillard right now. Are you kidding me? If the opportunity presents itself, it might not. We'll see. It might not. But all right, AJ, give me the baseball rundown from yesterday, including you probably don't have this in your rundown, but I believe the U.S. men's team is in the gold medal game tomorrow night. So they bounced back and they did their thing. Did you hear about Luka, by the way? Last second shot, had a chance to win the game, dished it off. And the guy got stuffed, and they're done.
Batum had the block.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. So, AJ, take it away, bro.
You hate to hear that. Okay, so I'm here with the Curtis Sells Houses Sports Update for all your realty needs. And make sure to hit up our friend, Curtis. So we're going to start off with the Mets game. They were able to overcome the early lead by the Marlins. They won the game 5-3. The Yankees teed off on the Baltimore Orioles yesterday and won their series. They won the game 10-3. Cincinnati Reds went at bat against the Minnesota Twins, and it was a hard-fought battle, but ultimately the Cincinnati Reds came away with the win, and Luis Castillo does as well. Tampa Bay Rays were finally able to right the track and not get swept against the Seattle Mariners. They win that game 4-3. Brewers, as always, taking care of business against the slumping Pirates. They win that game 4-2. The A's. Don't know if you heard that, Dave. The A's.
I heard you. Keep going, buddy. Improvements every year.
Innings are able to beat the Padres 5-4. I know I personally bet on that game, and God, it was exciting because they went into the ninth inning.
Did you update your bets?
No, but
I'm looking at the board. You're still 17.
I think it's like 17.1 now.
You lost a little bit. All right, go ahead.
Yeah.
That's fine. Keep going.
Phillies went against the Nationals, and they were able to extend their winning streak to 4 with a 9-5 victory. Pretty easy there. The Blue Jays had a big lead over the Indians, but that became much smaller. They ultimately won the game, however, 8-6, led by Springer's 4 hits. The Boston Red Sox were able to take care of the Detroit Tigers with ease. A surprisingly good start comes from Evan Rodriguez. The Braves beat up on the Cardinals and have another nice comeback against them. 7-4 is the score in that game. The Angels cannot seem to get their amazing offense going. They win the game 2-1, but I think in their past 3 games, I don't know if they've scored over 6 runs. So that's interesting to note. Kansas City Royals upset the White Sox pretty badly. Lucas Giolito looked like an absolute scrub out there, and they lose
absolute
that game.
Absolute eyewear scrub. Go ahead.
Absolute eyewear scrub.
Just, anytime you can say that. Hammer it home, baby.
The Chicago Cubs face off against the Colorado Rockies. They were able to win that game 3-2. Dodgers and the Astros continue their heated rivalry, and Max Scherzer is able to make sure that the Dodgers come away victorious in that one. And to end the day, the Giants and Diamondbacks have a snoozer early, but get a lot of production late in the game. That game ends 7-1 Giants. That is your sports update.
You know what, though? Even though I said absolute, I shouldn't associate absolute eyewear with any scrubs. Let the record show. That was a mistake on my part. But I just like to say it. And I hear it when I hear it in Jimmy's voice all the time. I will say this before we go to break. I'm going to break my computer. Before we go to break, Benjamin Albright. He's got 106,000 followers. He's a good writer for the NFL. Just got off the phone with a Texan source. There is not a movement on a Watson trade. So whoever reported it today, I want to say it was our boy Chef D, but there is no movement on a trade for Deshaun Watson. So
don't worry, I poured cold water on that.
Yes, you did.
Hot rumor.
Oh, you did. Very well. Very, very well done. All right, let's pay the bills. And we'll come back right after this with the 2021 Jacksonville Jaguars exciting preview. You know, myself and Gooch are both getting a little older. One of the first things to go is your vision. Thank goodness for our hookup over at Absolute Eyewear in Woodbridge, New Jersey, right on Main Street next to the train station. They have glasses for all ages, all budgets. They have safety glasses, sports glasses. They are a full-service powerhouse offering eye exams and even free lenses for the kids. They work with BCBS, AAA, AARP, giving massive discounts. They're open 5 days a week, closed on Wednesdays and Sundays. Call 732-326-3937 to get your first pair of Ray-Ban, Burberry, Coach, Polo, you name it, they got it. Go see Craig and Janine right now. All right, welcome back to the Chop Sports Podcast here on a Thursday, August the 5th, 2021. Today, we are talking all things Jacksonville Jaguars. How excited are you to talk about the Jaguars there, Gooch?
Let's just breeze through this piece of shit team, please.
All right,
a couple other guys for fantasy.
Then there's
I'm rooting for Tebow while simultaneously rooting against Urban Meyer.
You don't like Urban Meyer? Well, yeah, of course. You're a Penn State guy. I shouldn't say that.
He's a piece of shit.
You don't like Urban Meyer?
No, not one bit.
Okay. Anyway, it is the Jacksonville Jaguars preview.
I would take him to coach any of my teams, though.
Right. Yeah, he's kind of some piece of shit. You know what he does? He wins.
Like
he
wins.
Right. I hate Pete Carroll.
But if he was a Packers head coach, I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't trade LaFleur for him,
though. Yeah, I wouldn't trade LaFleur for anybody, considering he doesn't know how to lose regular season games at this point. But yeah, so the Jacksonville Jaguars, last year's worst team in the NFL, they decide to gift themselves Trevor Lawrence. Do you believe in this hype for Trevor Lawrence? He's been touted to be as good as Andrew Luck as far as like skill out of college.
I do believe in the hype.
For Trevor Lawrence.
For Trevor Lawrence, yes.
Okay. And you know what, though? When you look up and down this offense, they did fill him with some decent weapons. And I'm not talking about Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow is listed as the fourth tight end.
I think Tim Tebow is going to be better than people think.
Yeah.
I do.
You think he scores a touchdown?
100%.
If he scores a touchdown, and you're not a Tebow enthusiast,
some people think he's not going to make the roster. You're out of your fucking mind. He's not there to practice. He's there to play football. Right.
Anybody can go train.
And the thing I'll say about Tebow is he'll cover kicks. He'll do everything.
He's going to be a gamer.
No problem.
I can't wait to see Tebow make this team.
And I'm not a fan of Tebow, just to be clear. I don't dislike him or like him particularly. But I'm rooting for him just to see everybody else that doesn't like him fucking suffer.
How do you not? All right, let's be honest. How do you not like Tim Tebow? What has he done so bad?
That's why I don't like him. I'm just not a fan.
And I'm not even talking about like his faith. Like I'm talking about just the fact that he's done everything the right way. He's taken every job.
I just don't like the fact that the media makes a big, huge deal about it. So with me, I shy away from the whole, ugh, it's so annoying to me. It's like the LeBron debate. It's like politics to me. It's like, ugh. People have a side. You're not going to convince somebody of to join your side of the Tim Tebow debate or the LeBron
debate. This is very true.
So it's hard,
right. I know. No, I agree. But anyway, Trevor Lawrence is your starting quarterback, but there's a guy who will not accept a number two spot, even though he might have to, Gardner Minshew. A Minshew mania ran wild last year, and it was fun to watch. His personality is second to none. It's one of those things that feel-good stories, you really root for the kid. Do you feel like he's going to be carrying a clipboard, or do they move him? Because right behind him, they have C.J. Beathard from the 49ers, and they also have Jake Luton, who played a couple games last year. Is Gardner Minshew a guy that they can get something for?
He's 100% a guy they could get something for. I don't think they're going to move him nonetheless because it's a rookie quarterback, and you want to push him. You want a guy there that has a little bit of success in the NFL. But let's face it, Minshew, they won one game last year. It's not like he's out here winning football games.
He's a gamer.
He's a fun guy to watch play. He's a gamer. He's got the personality, all that. But he's not out there winning games. And that's the ultimate thing that you need to do in the NFL. Let's see what Trevor Lawrence is about. I still think that they're going to keep him on board, even though it is a big contract for a backup quarterback. I just have a feeling that there's really not much you're going to get in return for a Gardner Minshew. The value will still be there at the end of this season if Lawrence turns out to be what he needs to be, and the value would still be there. They're not going to get a draft pick for him before next season's draft that they're going to need, right? So after this season, they could trade him for this very same draft pick.
Very true. Very true. Their running back situation, I think it's kind of deep. I think it's very deep.
It's definitely.
Travis Etienne Jr. from Clemson played ball with Lawrence, I'm assuming, right?
Amari Rodgers, we're going to say. Packers third round pick.
Yeah, but I'm saying like Trevor Lawrence and him, they both came from Clemson, so they played. Gets his teammate back. James Robinson, last year's fantasy stud, came out of nowhere, shot out of a cannon, and basically carried my team all the way to the playoffs. I don't know about anybody else listening. Carlos Hyde is your third back. He's still a change of pace guy. I don't know. And I do like and pronounce. I'm going to butcher his name, but I do know that he's decent. And that's Dare Agbonwale. He's like all world like. He's got a lot of skill set for a running back.
So he'll be on the practice squad.
Sure, but you won't lose him. So that's a plus. Their receiving core, not bad at all. Like DJ Chark, Like he's coming back as wide receiver one. They lost Keenan Cole, but they replaced him with Marvin Jones Jr., who is very underrated, I think. He's just played for a shit team in Detroit. He had himself a decent quarterback the entire time, but that team just couldn't produce for anybody.
He disappears at times, but yeah.
Yeah, no. And then Laviska Shenault, very good receiver again. He is another guy that people picked up on the waiver wire. So, and look, I'm even going one further. Philip Dorsett II. Like, he played decent football. Like, he's not a bad football player, and he's wide receiver
four. How are they up front?
That's the problem.
That's all that
matters. That's the problem. Trevor Lawrence.
Very young team.
Trevor Lawrence is going to have to roll out a little bit and hope that his tackles hold up. And when I say tackle, I mean right tackle, because I'm sure he's not going to make them roll
left. Tebow could just play everywhere on the line.
Just block everybody.
The Lord's lineman.
The Tebow is a friggin' ox, first of all. He could probably lay the wood, and we're about to see it. But yeah, their offensive line is something to be said for. Jawan Taylor's pretty good.
There's going
to
be some exciting fantasy players on that team offensively.
Offensively, yeah.
They'll be down a decent amount, and they'll be throwing the ball a lot.
Yeah, that's the only problem I foresee with this Jaguars team. Well, not only problem, but one of their biggest glaring deficiencies is their defense. Led by Miles Jack. Love Miles Jack. He's definitely one of the better linebackers in football. But you basically let everybody go. You know, like all the big players on the Jaguars defensive front, you know, you're
playing for the Ravens now.
You're Duval. You know, those guys are gone. You know what I mean? So it's a hard pill to swallow if you're a fan. Josh Allen's a good linebacker, by the way. I'm not going to take that away from him. Now, Damian Wilson, go ahead. Bing. Former Cowboy, former Chief, former Super Bowl winner. So he's over there. One guy I wanted the Dallas Cowboys thing to draft was C.J. Henderson when he was available. He is the one of the corners over there. He's got an out listed on him right now. I'm not sure if it's a COVID thing. Not sure if he's hurt. But it is COVID. Okay, so COVID list for C.J. Henderson. Shaq Griffin, they wind up giving him some money to come over there. That's not the other Griffin. This is the Griffin with the one hand, right? Yeah, so he's over there playing cornerback. Looks like he's slated to be the starting cornerback.
Wait.
Am I wrong?
Yes.
I'm definitely wrong, right?
This is the one with two hands.
Wow.
He's a cornerback. I think the other one's linebacker.
The other one's a linebacker. You're right. I'm sorry. He's got the thing with the eyebrows, right? This is the one with the no way. I am cruising today, by the way.
Piece of shit.
So bad. I will say this. They have a phenomenal kicker. Josh Lambeau is a stud fantasy kicker, so get him involved on your fantasy roster. Because they can't score a touchdown. That's definitely it. When you look at their schedule, they do have a couple preseason games coming up. Cleveland, New Orleans, and this is not a ding because it's just on the schedule.
I'm going to make a new Dallas rule. Cowboys. I'm going to make a new rule. When you go through the schedule, let's just not say the preseason games anymore.
Why?
Because nobody gives a fuck about preseason.
All right. It's right there in front of me.
They got these three games coming up that just hopefully nobody gets hurt in, and then that's it.
All I'll say is this. The Jacksonville Jaguars will be 1-0 to start the year. 1-0. They start the year in Houston. They're going to win that game. Trevor Lawrence is going to get that win. Everybody's going to go, oh, he's the guy. He's got to be the guy. You know, and they're going to win that game. I got a feeling about that one. How many wins they get outside of that? I mean,
they do play Houston again.
They do play Houston again. So that's you're right. So that's two wins. They do get the Jets. That could be a win. That remains to be seen.
Is the Jets in London?
No, it's in December, so it's definitely not in London.
In New York.
So that might be a difficult game as well. Their division games are obviously tough by default. The Colts might be now winnable games if Carson Wentz isn't there. Their over-under from Vegas is another solid number, which we don't like when they're solid numbers, but it is 6. That's a 5-game win. That's a 5 wins above what they did last year. And is that the Trevor Lawrence effect? Like, do they really think that kid's got...
It's the Urban Meyer effect. It's the Trevor Lawrence effect. And it's Tim Tebow effect.
I love it. You just keep bringing up Tebow. The kid's not even on the depth chart as of right now.
They're going to have a lot of new fans this year. And they're going to have a lot of people probably watching those games and potentially betting on them. Mm-hmm. So they're going to jack that up.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe Tebow doesn't affect it as much, but I can't see any other reason why they would give them 6 wins on an over-under.
That's where it's at. So 6 wins.
I don't think they've had 6 they wins do play, combined listen, over the listen last to three
some
seasons.
Listen to some of the teams they play on their schedule. Like, they got a game against Cincinnati, and from what I read yesterday, which is kind of alarming, that Joe Burrow is looking like poo-poo over there. He's not setting his feet right, and yes, he's coming off his injury, but he's not even being accurate with the football. The balls are flying all over the place. We'll talk about the Bengals next week, but there could be some problems there. Like, I don't say he's not a good quarterback, but he might be a little skittish coming off that injury. So that's a game they can have. Maybe they give Atlanta a run for their money. That's a home game, so maybe. I don't know. They get the 2 wins over Houston, I think. I think they can beat the Jets.
There is not one guaranteed win on the schedule when I look at it because they're potentially that bad.
On defense.
Across
the board. They could score points.
As a team, they're potentially that bad.
Yeah.
Where they just don't have any guaranteed wins, so I'm going to go like 3. I don't even have to look at the schedule.
You're going
to
go 3-14 for the Jaguars. Okay. I'm going to give them the Trevor Lawrence effect. I'm going to give them the Urban Meyer. And if you want to throw Tebow in there, I'll throw Tebow in there. I'm going to give them 5 wins. I say it's the under, but they go 5-12. All right, so you're giving them a 3-14. I'm giving them a 5-12. AJ, where are you at?
Exactly 5-12.
5-12 as well. So he's riding my coattails on that one. The Jaguars got some work to do. They got a good young team, but in the NFL, you need experience, you need skill, you need time management, you need all that good shit. You need a defense. You need a middle-of-the-pack defense to be at least a contender, and I don't know if they have that. So we'll find out. I mean, the Jaguars have themselves a lot of work cut out for them. They have themselves a hard division. They can find themselves some early wins. We will see. But with that being said, we're going to take over. No, we're not taking over anything. We're going to take off.
We're going to leave.
We're going to leave.
I'm out of here. I don't know why I say
that. See ya. But anyway, so it's been another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast. And of course, we'll be back tomorrow. This time, Friday, we will talk about the Texans and if they can find a win. I firmly believe the Texans right now without Deshaun Watson are officially on the clock for the 2022 draft. That's how bad I think this Texans team might be. So
the Lions have something to say about that.
That's all right. The Lions have entered the chat. So with that, for Sturch and Gooch and AJ behind the glass, this has been another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Our people are here, by the way. You know that, right?
I guess that's your soft close.
Yeah.